Lord, we love you, and I pray that in these few minutes, truth would hit home, life would come, in Jesus' name, amen. I just want to give you two simple ways to be encouraged and stay encouraged, and to help you move forward in God. First, go with me to 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy, the first chapter, the end of the chapter, how to be encouraged in God, how to stay encouraged, two simple points. The end of the chapter, verse 18, Paul says, "This charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, that you may fight the fight of faith based on the prophetic words that have been given you." I want to encourage you as we come towards the end of this calendar year, as so many hearts have vision and hope, and others may be somewhat stuck in a rut, I want to encourage you to go back before God, to go back to key things that you know he's spoken to you, be they prophetic words, be they words that he's spoken into your own heart, be they scriptures that have been of special meaning to you through the years. Things, I don't mean some random word that somebody maybe said that you have no idea if it's really true or not, that one day your ministry will be a billion times bigger than the ministry of Billy Graham. I'm talking about words that you know were solid, that you can't shake, that were spoken with a divine ring to them, that were spoken with divine confirmation, or that have stayed with you, or that you journaled and you knew were from the Lord. Or things that as you prayed, he's impressed on you, and years later you pray again, and the same thing you get again. You can't shake it, you can't shake it, you can't shake it. I'm saying something that you know, God, you spoke this to me. You gave this to me. You promised this. I want to encourage you to go back to God and find those words. It may just be one thing through the years, it may be 20. And to go back to God, and by means of these words that have been spoken, these scriptures that have become life verses, these promises he's given you, to go back to God and begin to spiritually fight based on them. To begin to lift yourself up in God, because the words are spoken because they're beyond where we are. No one is going to give a prophetic word and say, "Thus says the Lord, you are sitting." You know, you're sitting in a chair. "Thus says the Lord, you are sitting in the chair." That's not the word in itself. There's got to be more. It may be you're sitting in the chair because your legs are crippled and you can't walk, but you will walk. The prophetic word is going to stretch us beyond we are. The prophetic word is going to bring us into places that we haven't been. It's going to speak things that seem impossible. Listen, if everything was just possible without God, then it wouldn't be the gospel. Then we'd just be doing some earthly, natural thing. I mean, God just doesn't speak to someone who has some basic ability, you know, not a prophetic word. "Okay, Mike Brown, you will be able to lift this," because anybody can lift this. God's going to speak something beyond ourselves, which means along the way, you're going to get discouraged, which means along the way, you're going to say, "How long?" Which means along the way, it's going to look like it doesn't happen. And let me tell you something, it's not automatic that it's going to happen. It's not automatic that all the promises are going to come to pass. It's not automatic that all the things spoken will happen. We got to join our faith with that and be encouraged in our heart and get these things in front of us and refuse to stay in the emotional or spiritual rut that we're in, if we're in a rut, or just the plateau or the stagnant point or the mild little growth which sometimes satisfies us, and go back and say, "God, you promised. What about your word? You spoke this, Lord," and it begins to bring you into something more. It begins to inflame the vision within you. It begins to ignite something in you. Because look, none of us were made to just survive. None of us were made to just go around in circles. None of us were made for some kind of spiritual life merry-go-round where you have the excitement of going around and going up and down, but we're just going in circles. God's will for every one of us. If you're saved, you're called. If you're saved, you're called, you're anointed. There's a divine purpose for your life. And that purpose is that you bear much lasting fruit to the point that you're thrilled with what God is doing in your life, to the point that you're amazed that you get to be part of this, to the point that you can't believe how good God is and that He called you to be in His service. Everyone's calling is different. Everyone's fulfillment in God is different. But you need to encourage yourself by taking hold of the promises. You say, yeah, but when I do, it's very discouraging. Because I look at what's spoken and I look at where I am and it seems hopeless. Or I begin to question whether I've really heard. I begin to question whether it'll ever come to pass. That's why you got to fight the fight. That's why you've got to make the determination. I will not stay here as surely as God is God. I've got to see His purposes revealed. And it's not about us anyway. It's about His kingdom. It's about Jesus being glorified. And we get blessed in the process. I've preached on the theme of how long in the past. And it's actually the verses in Scripture about how long, O Lord, are actually some of my favorite verses. You say, what? I mean, those are discouraging verses. Those are negative verses. You know, I soaked my bed with tears. How long, O Lord? Well, that's encouraging because if everybody got everything instantly, then something's terribly wrong with us. If everybody instantly had all the answers, then we're either castaways or not loved by God or in the backside of the desert or something's wrong or God's not real. The fact that those words are there mean you're going to go through the valleys. You're going to go through the discouragement. You're going to go through the situation where it looks like it's impossible. You know, when you're on the plane flying and the pilot says, we're going to be going through some turbulence for a few minutes, everyone put your seatbelt on. When the plane starts shaking, that was expected. If the pilot says, oh my God, if you know how to pray, pray. That's trouble. That's bad. Honey, I told you we shouldn't have been on this plane. I knew it. When the pilot says, no problem, folks. This will be over in about 10 minutes. Okay, the plane's going to shake a little bit, but it's not the end of the world. Yeah, we're going to go through tribulation. There's going to be turbulence. There are going to be delays. There are going to be times when it looks like we've hit a wall. That's in the Bible. That should encourage us because we're going to come through on the other side. If we refuse to stay where we are. I want to encourage you as part of the Fire family. I want to encourage you as individual believers. Go back to the promises. Don't be afraid to. You don't want to let my hope get up again. All right, then live in the cesspool for life. But who wants to do that? I mean, look, if we're going to surround ourselves with negativity and hopelessness, it's not going to get any better. That's right. If we're afraid to get our hopes up again, then we have to question, is God real or not? Because if He's real, we have every reason to get our hopes up. Look, I've prayed about certain things through the years. Sometimes I'll feel God stirring me and it's I can't shake the thing. And you've heard some of the things through the years, the things that have burned in my heart. And I'll get close to Him. I just want to worship. I just want to be in His presence. And as soon as I'm in His presence, I get charged with this thing. I get freshly burdened with this thing. And then I'll look back at my journal because I've journaled daily for, I don't know, 14 years or so. And I'll find similar entries 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 7 years ago, the same burning thing, the same thing I can't shake. And I have to conclude, either I'm out of my mind or God's speaking. Either I've completely lost it, I'm deluded, or He's speaking. But friends, nothing's going to happen by itself. Oh, God may move here and there in little pockets of blessing. We don't quite know why. But the purposes of God for your life will not be fulfilled unless you aggressively take hold of them. God, what about your promises? Listen, He's jealous over His word. He's glorified as His word comes to pass. His desire is to bless and cause us to be fruitful. We start to look at our lives. Okay, I'm not living right. I haven't been praying. I've been playing with sin. Whatever the thing is, we begin to deal with those things ruthlessly and pursue them because we refuse to stay where we are. Many years ago, I was preaching at a congregation in Memphis, Tennessee. It happened to be a messianic congregation there, a small congregation led by a friend of mine. And I was staying with a family. They had a girl, I don't know, 8 or 9 years old, but the wife had had many miscarriages. They'd been unable to have another child, but she was pregnant again. And as I was preaching one service, I just felt moved on and prophesied over her that she would go full term, that she would not miscarry. And I forget if it was a boy or a girl, but let's just say, and you're going to have a boy. And those little words come out of my mouth. I thought, why did you have to say that? Not just as, you know, boy versus girl, it's, you know, 50-50 chance at least. But you don't want to speak and say it's the Lord unless you know. But prophesying she's going to full term, not going to be a problem when she's miscarried time after time and she's been unable to have a baby. And I remember carrying that thing. I mean, I'd prophesied many times before and I did it in the fear of the Lord, not lightly. But I remember carrying that thing for those months right up until the time of delivery. Because I was representing God as a witness. And I remember the pastor called me and he said, hey, Mike, he said, remember the couple you stayed with? I said, sure. He said, you remember that word you had? I said, oh, yeah. He said, well, praise God. She went full term. Everything's fine. Had a healthy baby. I said, thank God. He said, but it was a girl. I said, what? He goes, no, just kidding. It was a boy. But, you know, I just remember that one because I felt the thing. It's so delicate, and she's had these miscarriages, and I know the Lord spoke this, and he's going to back his word. How do you, here, I'm carrying this thing daily and feeling the burden of it and, until it happens. How do you think God feels with all the things he's spoken? In a judgment context, in Jeremiah 1, it says he's watching over his word to perform it. There it's in a judgment context, but the principle remains the same. If he's spoken it, he's jealous over it. That's right. He's jealous over it. And he wants us to hold him to his word. Right. Just like your kids, all you that have kids, you know what it's like. Daddy, mommy, can we go out for dinner tonight? Well, maybe we will. Okay. Then it's time for dinner. Now we're getting you to help. But you promised. You promised. All we said was a maybe. Possibly. Could be. But the kids take hold of it as if it's an absolute. But you promised. I don't know how it is with yours, but ours, when our girls were little, just the crocodile tears instantly beginning to come. You promised. God is pleased when we go to him like that. But God, you promised. Now, he may say, listen, I kept my end of the bargain, but you said this, 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 and didn't do it. Fine. Let's get it straight. Let's find out what's standing in the way. Let's find out what's hindering it. But rather than be frustrated, we were expecting more. I was expecting God to do this in my life. I was expecting this at fire. I was believing for this. Rather than being disappointed with what hasn't happened, we ought to go to God and say, but you promised. And then we fight the good fight. We wage warfare. We refuse to bow down to what the devil's saying. We refuse to bow down to what our human emotions would be saying. We refuse to bow down to what circumstances are saying. Said, but God, you promised. I mean, I look at the Peters here and the faithful service they provide. The anointing on their lives. And we could stop here and say, look, it's been amazing. We were talking after the missions conference. Dr. Peters and I, if this is as far as it went, and this is what we were able to raise up and see happening around the world, it's amazing, it's worth it, it's true, it's gratifying, but it barely scratches the surface of what's in your hearts. God's saying again, expand the vision. Expand the vision. Go back to God. Go back to God. And if you say, yeah, but there are some things that I believe were going to happen a certain way, and they haven't, and it's gone the other way, and it's irreversible. It may be irreversible in the natural, but God can still turn it for greater good. God can still turn it for greater good. The impossible, the hopeless things, God can turn around for greater good. So I want to encourage you to refuse to stay where you are. I mean, look, if that's the wall, and we know it's going to come down one day, and I ran into it 100 times, it's got to come down. Keep running into it. I never did this when I was in sales. Before I was doing ministry work full time. But there were other salesmen that said, you know, we know that about 1 in 100 is going to say yes. When we give our sales pitch, about 1 in 100 is going to say yes. So every time we hear a no, we get encouraged because we know we're getting closer to the yes. No, I never took on that mentality. And the work I was in was a little bit different than that. But one way or another, you've got to determine in your heart that the things that would normally discourage you and break you down are going to be the things you stand on. The things that encourage you. The things that, if you know this wall is coming down and you've hit it 100 times, you think, man, it must be ready to come down. Or maybe when it gets hit with more, whatever it is, or maybe there's actually a door to walk through. But hear me. Take hold of the promises. The end of Ezekiel 12, prophet said, Lord, people are saying, you know, all this is spoken and it hasn't happened. Again, that's in the Bible. All these things, you promised this, it hasn't happened. When's it going to happen? God said it's going to happen. And of course, it happened with intensity. Take hold of the promises. Take hold of the prophecies. We are, listen to me, all of us, corporately, individually, seeing a fraction of what God has promised us. A fraction. And I've been in many different places in America and around the world where God is moving wonderfully, and they are seeing a fraction of what's promised. Don't accept this as this is it. Don't accept this as this is the level that's going to be attained. Go back to dreaming impossible dreams, because we serve a God with whom nothing is impossible. And stir your own heart. Stir your own heart. It'll stretch you outside of yourself. It'll move you outside of yourself. It'll move you to just take even little steps in the right direction. And before you know it, there's fresh hope. Encourage yourself in the Lord. It says of David that he strengthened himself in the Lord. And then second thing, and I'll make this quick. Determine to be encouragement to others. That's hard. That's not who I am. Yes, I'm speaking directly to you. Whoever it was that thought that thought, I'm speaking quite directly to you. Look, there's some people where you have to make a determination to love them because they're not lovable. You know what I'm saying? Because it seems that whatever is going on, they're going to put a cloud on it. They're going to bring something negative. Can I tell you that everybody in this building has problems? And everybody in this building has issues? And everybody in this building at one time or another is under pressure that's enough to make you want to quit? And everybody goes through challenges and difficulties. And some of the people here with the biggest smiles and worshiping the Lord with the greatest joy are the ones in the most difficult circumstances. And other people, no matter what situation you put them in, they'll find something negative. I'm not talking about some blind optimism where we refuse to speak the truth to each other. I'm not talking about living in some fantasy world where we live in denial. I'm talking about being an encouragement. Philippians 2, do all things without complaining or arguing. Do all things without complaining or arguing. Ephesians 5, that we speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That we determine, I see somebody, I'm going to encourage them. I'm going to find something life-giving to say. If it's someone in a real rut, let me get down there with them and get involved in their life. But I'm going to be an encourager. And let me say this. I'm saying this entirely for the benefit of those who tend to be discouragers, negative complainers. I'm not saying it because I feel like you're holding back fire. What's the matter with you? No, I'm saying it with genuine love and concern, because I know that when you live like that, you're your own worst enemy. You're bringing down your whole life. You're bringing down those around you. You're making a bad situation into a worse situation. Jesus tells us at the end of John 16, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have trouble, suffering, pressure. It's going to happen in this world. It's unavoidable. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. In other words, there's a place in me that you can find. And in that place, you can go through anything. Look, let's just say you're in a building. The power's gone out in the building. You're trapped in there. There's no way out. It's dark. It's scary. You're there with a friend. You could say, I hate the dark. I always knew this was going to happen. There are probably rats here. There are probably poisonous snakes. There's probably swine flu in the air. It's probably, we're probably marked as a terrorist about to bomb us. You could do that, which is not going to help anything. It will not help anything. And it will, and since God responds to faith, not complaining and whining, it's not going to hasten the divine answer either. Or you could just say, this is about the worst situation I've ever been in. Let's see what God's going to do. Praise God, he's faithful. Let's start reminding ourselves of how, remember how he delivered us when we got that flat tire in the hurricane? Remember that? In the hurricane, we got a flat tire. And remember the, how that all turned around? Hey, remember the time when you were so sick and you start to encourage one another in the Lord. First thing, it makes a bad situation a lot better. If you're going to be in a dark situation, be there with joy at least. Be there with some faith and encouragement at least. At least until the outward thing changes, you've got the bigger change. And then I tell you, it's also going to hasten the divine answer coming. I once heard Jack Hayford relating what he once heard from a black preacher. And he just said the way this guy preached it and the melodious way that he kind of sung it, Jack Hayford was saying he wasn't able to do it. But it was Acts, the 16th chapter, when Paul and Silas, divinely led, specifically led by God, into Philippi. We go here, no, here, no, here, no, there's the place. And they go there, the place God specifically sent them to, and there's an uproar in the city. They get falsely accused, they get severely whipped, and thrown in the lowest dungeon. Oh, yeah, Paul, you had to get that dream. Hey, look, Paul, it wasn't just me, Silas. You blew it too. Remember the time you said it was God and it wasn't God? This is my part of the story. This is not the Jack Hayford part. This is just my little imaginary part here. Oh, yeah, you're always so spiritual, Paul. God said not to go here. It was perfectly fine to go there. God said not to go there. It was perfectly fine to go here. No, they were exactly where God wanted them to be. Severely flogged, God knows the pain they're in chains, in a dungeon. This is not air-conditioned, lovely facilities. In other words, rats scurrying around. You're talking about a worse situation than most of us have ever found ourselves in. Midnight. Everything's bad. What do? They begin to rejoice. They're worshiping God. They're praising God. And suddenly there's an earthquake and they get delivered and everybody else gets set free. And so according to this preacher whom Jack Hayford heard, you know, the word says that heaven is God's throne and the earth is his footstool. And when God heard Paul and Silas starting to sing, he started to get into the music, started to tap his foot. And next thing there was an earthquake. The praise, the worship, the thanksgiving, the adoration, the encouragement, it changes the whole atmosphere. It literally changes the atmosphere more than we can understand. I know some of you are weighed down and you're discouraged and it's hard to find something positive to say. That's where you've just got to worship God and wait on God because there is joy in his presence. And you've got to determine no more complaining. I can address issues honestly. Hey, we're having an issue here. We need to talk about this. Hey, we're having some problems here. Husband and wife sit down and say, look, we're not handling funds properly. We got to talk this through. We got an issue with our kid. You speak the truth to each other, but always with faith and confidence that there's a solution. And you encourage each other in the Lord. And speak words of life. Find something good to say to a person. Not just coming up to me and say, hey, Dr. Brown, I'll tell you, that is the finest looking outfit I think I've ever seen in my entire life. You don't have to create something that everyone knows is a myth. Oh, that's decent outfit, a little bit dressed up today. I was getting a lot of looks on the show there, like, whoa, this guy is slick. And if you're just listening to this message and say, what show? Just stay around for a couple months, we'll tell you. But seriously, if you pray, if you think about people, if you get to know people, you're going to find something encouraging to say. The people that you live with, speak words of life, speak words of affirmation, speak words of encouragement. refuse to be a negative, draining, complaining, arguing person that people don't want to be around. And that only makes it worse for yourself. Encourage one another. So encourage yourself in God. Encourage yourself in God. Take hold of his promises. Go back to the words that were spoken. I'm telling you, for most of us, there's maybe 2% or 5% of what God's promised that's been fulfilled so far. Some of us are 60, 70, 80 years old, and there's still only a small fraction that's been fulfilled. Let's go after him. Let's go after him. Let's hold him to his word. Let's remind him of his promises. Let's do warfare with it. Let's pull down the wrong thinking in our own heads and believe God and speak it and encourage one another and say, hey, I found this word. I believe God's going to do this. I believe God's going to do this. And we start to walk into it however we can. And then determine in your own lives, be an encouragement. Don't be the negative doomsday one. If you see a genuine problem, a genuine issue, you speak it, but you speak it in a spirit of faith that God has a better way. Encourage one another, be encouraged in God. And it's amazing to see what happens when our attitudes change, when our attitudes lift, and those that are really struggling and are just too stuck in a rut to get up, we'll pull them out together. We'll pull them out together and say, hey, come on, I know you can't see a way right now, but we're going to make a way in God together. Come on, let's take hold of this and go for it. Let's encourage one another. And I just want to pray this. Father, I pray that a complaining, arguing, negative spirit would be so distasteful to us that literally those words would leave a bad taste in our mouths, that speaking words of unbelief, that speaking words of hopelessness, speaking words of complaining, speaking words of negativity, Lord, would actually leave a bad taste in our mouths. Instead, oh God, may there be a fragrance of life about us. May there be words of life. May we be a people of life. May life emanate from us, oh God. And may we take hold of your promises, God, individually and corporately. And I pray in these coming days and months that you will hasten your work among us. Hasten your purifying, hasten your blessing, hasten your outpouring, your release of your spirit. And I pray for the hundreds of callings that are in this place, that they'd be stirred afresh, that the gifts of God within us would be stirred afresh, that we'd step into something new, that we'd see beyond ourselves into the glory of your promises and see holy reality come. In Jesus' name, amen.